Something the Lord has been speaking to me recently, a topic that he wanted me to share today, is the heart of God and God the Father. Because we know the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but I want to specifically focus on the Father today, because I know God has something really amazing to share today, something that hopefully will change the way some people think, hopefully will give you a new understanding of who he is and what it's like to get into a deeper relationship with him. And I would say, well, yeah, it does tie in with identity, and I really love that we did that series and that the topic of the camp was identity, because in my opinion, that's one of the most important things in our relationship with Christ. Because if you know who God is, then you know who you are, and you know what you are capable of, and you know that his Spirit rests on you. You can go do his will, and Amen. You can reach that point where you're unstoppable, where nothing can shake you, and it's awesome. I really love it, and thank God that he opens this up to us, that he allows us to see who he actually is, and he gives us the strength to go forward with that information we know and actually serve, actually do what he has planned for us. And so one thing I really enjoy is like, say you're like walking in a park, or you're like going downtown or just somewhere, and you see like a young father playing with his little son or his little daughter. And has anybody seen that like in the park before? Yeah, when I see it, I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Like guys get baby fever too. It's not only girls. When I see that, I'm like, man, I want a little boy of my own. I want a son. And it's beautiful. It's perfect. It's pure. It's something that I really want one day, and I'll get it. Yes. Amen. Yes. So I noticed that they're both happy, that their relationship is awesome, that they're both spending time with one another. The son is happy. The dad is happy. They're just having a good time. They're buddies. And I'm like, man, Lord, I need this one day. But they're happy because they're in communion with one another. They're spending time. They're having fun. They're just being friends, or just being buddies. And so you take one of them away, you take the father away, or you take the son away, what now? I mean, you're not happy. The dad's not happy. His buddy's gone. And something as simple as that, just the dad playing with his son or with the daughter, gets me thinking about our relationship with God. Like, is my relationship with God like that, where I'm so excited to be with God, where I'm so eager to spend time with him, where when I'm with him, I'm just focused on the Father, and it's not like, oh, I can spend some time by myself, I can do this without God, this and that. Like, is my relationship really like the Father playing with his son? And it's sad to say that a lot of the time it's not always like that. A lot of the time I can't find time for God, or I'm really tired after work because I have to wake up at 2 a.m. every day. But it's all something that I can change if I find the strength to do, or if I find the strength to do that's all that can change. And I believe it's not always like that. My relationship with God is not always like that, because I either haven't received a true revelation of who God is, or I haven't actually put myself in the place where I surrender all and say, like, okay, God, here I am, have your way. I feel like that's why our relationship isn't like that with God all the time, because we don't know who God is, or we just haven't given it all. And I believe those are the only two reasons. There's no other excuse, because I mean, if you don't know, how do you do it? You have to know before you have an amazing relationship with Christ. And everyone's heard this story, the prodigal son. Am I right? Yeah, we're not going to read it because everybody knows how it goes. But when I was preparing this sermon, I'm like, man, I need to share this. And because I know how it feels to be the prodigal son. And I'm sure everyone knows what it's like to be the prodigal son. I've been in that position, and I've lived in the shame of the prodigal son when he's coming back. And but the fact that God is so eager to love and forgive and actually want the best for us after we spit in his face, after we spit in everybody else's face, it's beautiful and it's amazing. And it really displays the heart of the Father to me, and I love that. But after kind of breaking down the story, four things really stuck out to me that I'd like to elaborate on. And the first one is the Father saw the Son when the Son was still a long way off. And that shows me that the Father was waiting. The Father was prioritizing his time to wait. The Father was expecting the Son to come back. And that's the same with us. He's waiting. He's always waiting. The only thing that we have to do is say yes, is to come back, and he's always going to respond. It's not like we come back and he's not there. He's always there. And the second point is the Father ran to the Son. And I know Johnny, earlier he was preaching that running in that time was kind of shameful. The dude was wearing a dress or whatever. He had to lift it up. But he didn't care. He ran. He wanted to be with the Son. I also heard somewhere that the only time that Israelite men ran was in war, too. So, I don't know, the Son was probably like, oh my goodness, he's going to kill me. He's running, but no, the dad was just like, my boy is home. Come here, son. And it's awesome. The third point, I really like this one, is because when, you know what, let me open this. I need to read this. So Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32. That's the story of the prodigal son. But just the response that the Father has to the Son. Verse 21, chapter 15. And the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. They began to have a party. But what I really like about this is the son's like, Dad, I'm so sorry. Like, I messed everything up. And the dad doesn't even respond to that. He doesn't even care, really, I guess. Which is crazy because it's like, yo, I just spent like half of all your millions. You had to sell half of your property so I could go and waste it. Like, he expected the dad to be upset and mad, but no, the dad's like, yo, go bring him this nice jacket, go bring him the Gucci slides, go kill this sheep or calf, and let's have a party. Like, if I was the son, I'd be like, are you serious? Really? Like, just imagine how he felt. Like, I don't think there's any way to describe that when you are expecting to be, I don't know, killed even for what you did, but the father is like, yo, here you go. Amen. It's awesome. I love how the father doesn't even say one word to him about what he did. And that shows me that God not only forgives our sins, but he forgets them. He separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And it's awesome that we don't have to live in that. We don't have to return to that. We don't even have to remember it because God has forgiven us. And it's all good. We keep going forward. Amen. And the fourth point is, I don't hear a lot of people talk about this, but this is when the older brother comes back from the field. And he sees the dad partying with the son, and he's like, what is this? I worked hard, I did this and that, like, you never gave me a little sheep to feast on. But the dad says, all that's mine is yours. So the older brother could have had all of that. He could have taken that sheep or goat. He could have partied with his buddies, whatever, as long as he took that. God says, everything that's mine is yours. But we need to accept that, and we need to take that. So whose fault is it that the older brother is upset? It's his own fault, because he does. I guess he didn't realize that everything that the father has is also his. So, yeah, those are just four points that really kind of solidify the point, the topic of this story. And like I said, it really displays how much God loves us, how much he values us, and how much he's ready to sacrifice, which he already has. He gave everything literally for us, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah. When you realize how much God actually loves you, it's something that I think you can never forget, that because it can change your life. You can allow it to sit in your heart as a pillar, as something that is a foundation, if you allow it to, because literally the only thing that stops us from receiving blessing, from receiving God's will for us, is when we don't allow it to sit in our hearts, when we allow the devil to have his way in our hearts. Just like Vic Fomenko said at the camp, the only place the devil has any power in is our hearts, and that's only because we allow him to have that place. And I heard a quote one time, I forgot how it goes exactly, but it was like, what's the only wall God can't move? It's our hearts, and the only way he can move is if we allow him to. So that choice is very important, but it's also one that is going to pay off if you decide to just be like, Lord, okay, catch me, have your way. And yeah, that's just a little snippet of what God's love for us is. And guys, there are so many spots in the Bible about God's love. Like, I could go on for days, but I decided to pick just a little bit of just a couple scriptures that kind of really, to me, they really bring the point across very well. And the first spot is 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. And we're almost there. Okay, yeah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So, children of God, meaning God is our Father. That's awesome. Because literally going from nothing to a child of God is the greatest thing ever. And just being able to call God our Father is, to me, that's amazing. Because like every father should be the best friend, like every father should be the teacher, the counselor, the everything to the child, so God is to us. And it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. It means he did this out of love. He did this through love. Not thinking of himself, but thinking of us. And it's beautiful. It really is. That's just one spot. There's another that we can skim through. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's a good chunk of information written in this passage, but what really stands out to me as the first one is he's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It says everything. He's given us all of it. Second is, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. So first one, every spiritual blessing. Second one, he chose us before the foundation of the world. And third one, in love he predestined us for adoption. Just when you break it down like that and you really understand the key points, it's like, man, God really loves me if he's done all of this for me. He's given me every spiritual blessing. He chose me before he made the earth, and he has adopted me. It's awesome. It's just, I don't know. Everyone needs this revelation, Lord. Give it to them. And another spot. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Yeah, let's see. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And when we break this scripture down, the first one, let's see. We did not receive the spirit of slavery, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Once again, saying that God has adopted us to be his children. And the second one, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So what stands out to me is God not only calls us children, but heirs, people who are going to inherit his kingdom, people who are going to serve with him. And what's the biggest thing I got from this is we go from orphans to kings just like that when we accept Christ. And it's amazing that yet again God says, you are a son, you are a king, let's party. I don't know. Yeah, God is awesome. And when we realize his character, when we realize his heart and how much he does love us, I mean, there's so many places in the Bible. It says it over and over and over again. I mean, like, how can you not get this? Like, open your eyes, open your ears. Accept the love that God has for you, and all will be well. It's awesome. I mean, when I was preparing this message, I'm over there just flipping through. I'm like, okay, I see you. Okay, this is cool. Lord, thank you. There's just so much of it. And especially when you see how it works in your life. I mean, everyone is a sinner. Everyone has had that time where it's like, man, everything sucks. I'm not living for God. I'm chilling. I'm doing what I want. And then when God transforms you and takes away that pain and takes away that suffering, and you see how the scripture actually goes into your life, how it applies to your life, that's when the revelation comes. That's when it's like, okay, I know this is true because it has already happened. God did this for me, and what he did for me and everyone else, he can do for all people. Amen. Amen. Another one, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Obviously, not everyone is Christian in this world, but there are fathers who are still good that are not Christian. They love their kids. They give good gifts to their children. Lord, let them be saved in your mighty name. But it says how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Like, what God has prepared for us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And the fact that it's already there and it's already prepared for us, just for him to give it to us, is an amazing revelation. And that ties in exactly with the next scripture. So if you, it's literally Matthew chapter 6, so you just flip your Bible one page back. It's chapter 6, verse 8. And this is when Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. He's saying, don't be like them, don't do this, don't do that, but instead do this. And verse 8 says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I really like this verse, because sometimes when I go into the secret place, I don't even need to ask or complain or vent to the Lord, because he already knows what I need. He already knows that I need a better job or a better car or this or that. And instead of a better job, no, I don't. I have a good job. What are you talking about? Amen. Regardless that I wake up at 2 a.m. every day. No, but God already knows what I need. And I don't need to waste my time with things about me, with being like, God, I need this. God, I feel this kind of way. I mean, it's okay to tell God how you feel, but I mean, we're there to have communion with him. We're there to have fellowship with him. We're there to have that buddy time like the father has with his little boy in the park. That's what the secret place is. And when you start looking at it that way, that's what it starts becoming. So imagine you're God and you're like, all right, yo, my son is coming, let's chill. And your son just like kicks open the door and he's like, oh my God, this sucks, like I need this, I need that. Like, okay, chill. But like, instead of complaining to the Lord, why don't we just actually have fellowship? Why don't we actually have communion? It says he knows already what we need, so why worry, why stress? God says you're good, all is good. And when I started looking at it that way, instead of, I mean, complaining, or there was a time actually when, I mean, I was younger, I was kind of littler, so, no, that's not an excuse, but there was a time when all my prayers would be the same every single night. I had it memorized. I was like, God, yada, 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 verse A, verse B, chorus, whatever. Go to bed. Amen, and go to bed. And every day I was like, Lord, you're good, this and that. Repeat, 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 and go to bed. And I was like, well, I wonder why my relationship with Christ is not growing. Like, why not, Lord? Come on. I'm coming to you every day. I'm praying to you. And God was like, well, you see, son, are you actually praying? And I'm like, you have a good point, Lord. No, I'm not actually praying. I'm just repeating myself. That's not a relationship. And I mean, thank God, I see everything differently now, because now I see my relationship with God like the son and the dad in the park, where I'm like, God, this is awesome. I love you. Let's hang out more. And God's like, okay, let's do it. Yeah. God is just so good. Amen? Yeah, God is awesome. And when you accept that revelation, when you really understand how much he's given, how much he did, just that enthusiasm comes. When you actually live by the Bible in your private life, it's amazing. All of this is just a small glimpse. And yeah, it's a small glimpse of how much God truly loves us and how good he actually is. Because, I mean, he died on the cross for our sins. He gave his life. And he loved us enough to say, you are clean, you owe nothing, you are good, your debt is paid, so why do we still live like we do when everything's already been written, when everything has already been established, when this revelation and gift and salvation and everything has already been prepared and God is literally like, okay, you can take it now. Like, why do we still live like, oh God, this sucks, my life sucks, why am I not close to God, this and that. Yeah, when everything has already been washed away, when the Father's waiting with open arms saying, I'm here, come to me, spend time with me, let me be your buddy. Why do we still live like that? Because we either don't know or we let laziness take over, we let the worries of life take over, and we just don't want to do this. This speaks to me too, because a lot of the times I am that person, but when I pray, instead of complaining, instead of crying, I pray, Lord, give me strength to do this, to do that, to come to you, to actually prioritize my relationship with you, because he is our Father, he has every gift, he has every blessing. And I know he can give me that strength. And when I do prioritize coming to him, when I just come into the secret place, and I don't even have to really say anything or pray necessarily, even just being in the presence of the Lord is already something that heals, is already something that takes care of my burdens. And yeah. All we need is Jesus. So why do we need anything else? Yeah. Yeah, just like every father should be the best friend, he should be the counselor, the teacher, the protector, the provider, everything to his children. The same way God is for us. God is the best friend. God is the provider, the protector, this and that, but he can only have his effect if we open up our hearts, if we make that choice. I mean, I didn't even really need to say anything, because everything's already written in here. And I mean, I saw on the little sheet today, the little purple pink sheet when I was opening service, does anybody still have one of those? No? Yeah, can I have one? No, there was something written there that really, I was just standing, getting ready to open up service, nervous, sweating, and just, yeah, but, it says, O Biblia. Не говори, что Бог молчит, пока на полке пыльная Библия лежит. Ooh. Who wrote that? Do you know who wrote that? Don't say that God doesn't speak while your Bible is sitting on the shelf covered in dust. Yeah. God, why aren't you speaking to me? God, why? Why this? Why that? And God's like, bro, open the word. Read it. This God is the word. Yeah. The one right above that says, пыль на Библии, ржавчина на сердце. And that's dust on the Bible is rust on your heart. Ooh. See, who actually reads these? Be honest. Mark. Shame. No, I'm kidding. No. I mean, I had to read it today. I usually don't. Forgive me, Lord, but I had to because I was opening service. But this was good. This was really good. This opened my eyes. And yeah, there's more written here. So if anyone still has one of these, and whoever knows how to read Russian, Mark. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, everybody read this. It's awesome. But yeah, I do remember seeing a cartoon also one time. It was like a little man, just cartoon, and he's like yelling at the clouds. He's like, "Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? Like, I need to hear you. Like, ah, like, why?" And literally you just see God's hand come out of the clouds and just give him a Bible and then go back up. Like, okay. He got his answer. He better start booking now. Yeah. Yeah. So, what I want you guys to get from this is, to the person who's struggling in their spiritual life, I would say that this is the first step. Looking at God as a father, like a true father, like as your dad, as your buddy, because through that comes healing, restoration, and then strengthening. It strengthens you to go and do his will, because we're not meant to just sit and be like, "Oh God, you're good, okay, I'm just going to live and chill." No, we're supposed to be equipped, we're supposed to be strengthened, and then go out and let other people understand this so that they can come to know Christ and that everything may be awesome. Yeah, if anyone wants that deeper revelation, if anyone hasn't gotten, I mean, everyone gets it, but it's completely different when, say, you're in this secret place and it hits you. Like, has anyone had a revelation like that where it absolutely changes everything? Yeah, it's like the Matrix. You're over there like, and then nothing's the same. I've had a couple of revelations like that. But yeah, if anyone wants that, take it to the secret place and God will deliver it in a way that will change your thinking and the way you live. And the story of the prodigal son was one for me, because I was in his place. But there was a situation that showed me even more than that story. And if you guys were at the last small group that I led, you've heard this, but if you haven't, I'll say it again. And so I really love reading the Old Testament. I have read the Bible a couple times through, and if any of you haven't, you should, because every time I read it through, I catch things and I start noticing things that I didn't notice the first time. And every time I read it through, I'm like, okay, I see you, I see this. And there's just so much. I believe that you could read the Bible however many times in your life, and there's still going to be more that you could take from it. But I love reading the Old Testament. I love reading about the history of Israel and how God's heart as a father actually comes out to his little Israelite children, messing things up and ruining everything. And every single time they mess up, they're like, "God, we're sorry." And God's like, "Okay, I'm going to bless you. You'll have peace for like 100 years in your land." And then they do something else, and God's like, "Okay, I gotta discipline them again." But through that, through all of that, God never, he never abandons them. He never wipes them out, even though he wants to sometimes. But that revelation, just those situations, those stories, is what revealed to me God's love for me. Because when I wasn't living right, when I was doing whatever I wanted, and when I didn't care, God's like, "Yo, you are like the people of Israel." And I'm like, "Really? How so?" And you would expect him to say, "You are disobedient. You're doing this. You're messing everything up." Instead of saying that, God said, "You are still my chosen one. You are still my chosen people. I love you." And the fact that God still wants the best for me after I literally abandoned him and everyone else, that really shows that he loves me. He wants the best job for me. He wants the best wife for me. He wants the best ministry for me. Best wife, yes. Lord, I'm waiting. But yeah, that's what really opened my eyes to God's love. And instead of looking at him as like a president or a dictator now, now I see him as my dad, as my buddy. I see him like the dad with his little boy in the park. And another verse I'd like to share is John chapter 14. Where is it? Yeah, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Okay. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Yeah. I really like this verse because it shows me a result of my life when I accept God's love for myself. Because it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I don't keep them because I have to, but because I love Christ, I keep them. And that's how God's love has changed me, because it transforms me from being the rebellious son, the prodigal son, to wanting to be the obedient son, wanting to be the son that shares in the blessing of the Father, in the glory of the Father. And also, another point is God loves us enough that he has given us the Holy Spirit. We all know how helpful the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is in us. That's God's power in us. And it's amazing because not everyone has it, not everyone knows the Lord, but it's crazy that God said, the Holy Spirit is in you and you will do even greater things than I have done. The same power that raised him from the dead is in us, and he loved us enough to be like, okay, go do what I did. Go serve, go make me proud. And that's amazing. Just that fact alone is enough to blow my mind. And so, I mean, that's where I'd like to end. I love how God's love manifests itself in us to where it changes our thinking. It changes our lifestyles. Yeah, it goes from I have to keep these commandments to I want to keep these commandments. And just also, it's written all over the Bible that God loves me, God is for me, he's not against me. He's willing to equip me, to send me out, to actually transform me from a piece of dirt to a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Yeah. He is a good father. He is a really good father. And I don't know. I mean, earthly fathers are good. Some are not so good. I mean, but the fact that God is the best father is amazing. And accepting that is the first step to being limitless in the Spirit and in his glory and in his will. Amen.